And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Browser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, I often talk about the reality that we give God our leftovers. It's absolutely a sin. If God gave you and me the leftovers he had, we certainly would not receive Jesus Christ as the greatest gift ever. So we're going to explore something that is absolutely important and that helps us understand the difference between what our best is and what our leftovers are for God. We will explore this through Genesis all the way to Revelation. So I hope you've got about 5 years just to listen to this one show. Next, what's most amazingly about this reality, most amazing about this reality, is that God has made it absolutely clear that when we do not give him our best, he responds to that. He does not respond by not giving us his best. He gives us a response by saying, "You're shortchanging me, and I will show you how." What frustrates many people is that God is an add-on in their relationship in life, when in fact God is supposed to be the all that there is in this life. And finally, anytime we commit ourselves, anytime, anywhere else, we give our loyalty to something other than the kingdom of God. And when we do that, we put ourselves in a position not only of judgment, but of a reduced present practice. And then we also open up the opportunities of committing a form of fornication against God. What? Oh, yeah, where do you see this? If we commit elsewhere in any capacity or any other way, we fail our king, and we will not forget so quickly when he responds. If we leave ourselves vulnerable by not honoring the Lord and King and our Savior, we put ourselves at risk, and guess what? There's nobody left to blame but ourselves.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Now, you gotta remember, it's not professional radio, it's just radio. We have somebody who's on hold, and we're going to send them on through. Knock, knock, who am I talking to? This is David.
It's Brother Roger again.
Hello, Brother Roger again. Sorry for that delay. You caught us right at that one little clip time where we had to go through the end and the beginning. But thank you for your patience. How are you?
Well, that's great. I like listening to the fill-ins and even the reruns and stuff like that, because you can get something different out of it each time if you really listen.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, and I know that you're always preaching and teaching the Word of God.
Well, I appreciate that, brother.
You do it with the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
And we also need joy more than anything now, than more than ever, to keep our joy, to stick with our joy, because the joy is in the Lord, because he is our strength. And that's where I'm at. The reason I called is I was on vacation for a week, and I forgot to tell you I was going on vacation, so I haven't been. I took a vacation from you for a week and week and a half because I didn't know how to do the app. I'm not tech savvy, and that's the other reason. If you get a chance to text me your mailing address to where I could give something, because I'm not very good at the other way of doing it. So text me your mailing address sometime so I can give you a little something. Right now it's just been the economics that the Lord can over. I mean, when gas prices were $4, we got through it. And when other time, and I call it the Jimmy Carter years, we got through it. So we can get through this too. So
that's right.
If we can keep our eyes and our wisdom from Christ Jesus and keep them on the Lord. And that's what I've been doing. It's not that it's not been a struggle, because I've been struggling just like everybody else. And you were talking just a little bit ago about, well, there's ups and there's downs and there's in-betweens and backwards and forwards. And, well, sometimes I was thinking about school, you know, sometimes I had to take the lesson over again to get a better mark. So
that's great. That's a great analogy. That's a great point right there.
And sometimes with the Lord, he's full of do-overs. He'll give you a bunch of do-overs. So, you know, and you don't want to take too big of advantage of that, but I probably take too big advantage of that, but I get a do-over very often. And this is the way I put it. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be.
That's exactly right. That's an excellent say. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. That's a great,
right.
Great line. That's excellent. And let me share this story with you. I got to share this thing. You brought that up about the gas. And I've talked about the story one other time, but I'll bring it up again. When my brother and I, Billy and Larry and Bruce and I, were at Foundation Fellowship. It was a church long ago. This lady testified. It was just so amazing. It was right when, you know, the gas was going like absolutely crazy. And she said, she's filling up her car, and her car was empty. She put the gas in, and she looked up to heaven, and she said, "How are we going to get through this? This is getting to be ridiculous." She put the car in, she started filling up the gas, and after about $1, it stopped, and it wouldn't pump anymore. She'd only pay about $1 worth, and her car was empty, and on $1, God filled her tank completely. And so it's just like, God can do anything. It's like, oh, no, that's it. I'm going to tell that lady, she was, you just could not, you cannot take the joy of the Lord away from her. She was like so happy. She was restrained in sharing it, but it just tells you God can take anything we have and multiply it and get us through. He's proven that in the Word.
I had a similar thing happen. I was all out of gas, and my ATM card wasn't working, and I didn't have no cash on me. And I said, "Lord, what am I going to do? I'm not going to get home." And then about 3 minutes later, after looking what I could do, and say, a guy knocked on my window at a stop sign and said, here's $100. The Lord told me to give you $100.
Wow.
that's just God. He come through.
He always comes through. He always, always, always comes through. Excellent call, Roger, again. Excellent job. And I'll send you that after the show's over at 3 o'clock. I'll send you the address.
All right. Thank you.
All right, brother.
And I just thank you for your ministry and your cohort there, the Big D, Dynamite. And I just really appreciate you guys that you helped me through some of my struggles because of your joyfulness. And keep my eyes off the world, because the world is a big enemy. And if we keep our eyes off the world, we have to be in this world. There's no getting away from being in this world. You have to be in it, but you don't have to be of the world.
That's right.
You can set yourself apart, and you can have a good time without sinning.
Yeah. Now, there's no question. The joy of the Lord is right there for all of us. No question. Excellent, brother.
I have a good time. I have a good time all the time without sinning. I enjoy life. God didn't bring you here to have hard knocks all the time. I went through the school of hard knocks. It was a good thing.
Yep. You graduated. And you'll really get your degree when you're dancing on Streets of Gold.
Right. Well, I already got the master's degree.
There you go. That's right. Excellent job, Roger, again. Very, very good call. I appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch base with you and let you know that I just forgot to tell you I was going to go on vacation, and I didn't want to. We went to Alabama to see grandchildren play football, and I yelled myself to pieces and my sore throat and everything. But I have a grandson that's a senior, and it would, before I get too old, I made the trip.
Yeah.
So.
Good for you.
Thank Jesus for allowing me to get to Alabama and back, and we had a good time with our grandchildren that I don't see that much. And
there you go.
It was a great trip, and I just thought about you guys and prayed for you all while I was there, and now I'm home and want to let you know that I'm home and still praying and believing, and God bless you all.
God bless you too, brother.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Roger again. That was a great job. Great phone call. I will text him later on. So now you think, well, why didn't you? Listen, this is brothers and sisters. Exactly what we do. This is what we do. We encourage and strengthen one another. What a blessing. He's just full of joy. He's a very joyful man. And some of us could use some of that rubbed off on us. Some of you need a little less irritation and a little more irrigation of the Holy Spirit. That would be a good way to say that. A little less irritation, a little more irrigation of the Holy Ghost. All right, I'm not going to exit yet, so I want to do a couple of things. You all right with that? All right, first, we are going to finish off letting you know how to get in touch with us, because I want to make sure you're able to do that. So I do want to go back to that. And then we're going to I'll figure out what we're going to do. But I do want you to be aware that if you do want to reach us during the show, there's like three super easy ways. One, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. That's david@hemusincrease.org. You can also, by the way, text us. Did you know you can text us? Yeah. 214-210-8483. You can also use that number when the show's not on to reach me if you want to text me personally, but that's fine. 214-210-8483. You can also call us live during the show, really. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you do make that call of 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. When you talk to Jammin' Jacob, that's like reading a verse in your Bible. Now listen. And then you're out throughout the day, and either on the radio or through your car or through something else, you see that verse again, and you go, I just saw that verse this morning. That feeling is so cool. That's what it's like talking to you.
Thank you, David. And that was a great phone call from Roger.
Yeah. We call him Roger again because he called, and then he called in again. He goes, it's Roger again. And so now that's his name.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Roger again. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We'll do our DNA, and then we'll exit, and then we'll do our trivias and all the other stuff. So just hang in there. Listen, there's so much, all the stuff that we teach, there's probably not a lot of it's better than the DNA. I know you guys don't think so, but no, this is really the best stuff, and I'll tell you why. Because it just puts us where we need to be. That's the key. DNA, our building blocks of who we are. Our D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
That just means every day that ends with Y, spend some time with the guy in the sky. Just that simple. There you go. And then N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Just in case you're wondering, more countries are stomping on the ability to quote scripture in public. And that's why you can't be ashamed. You should know your word. You shouldn't be living your Christian life vicariously through teachers or pastors. They are there to help you for works of service, not replace your discipline you need in the Lord to know the word. Keep that on the top of your forefront of your mind. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve, which means OPM, other people matter, which means other people come to mind. And when you're praying for yourself, and I was telling this to my son, you know, when Jesus started off this, his model of prayer, when it says pray in this way, it's actually the word this manner in the Greek. It's this manner, or this style. And the first thing it is, our Father. It's not my Father, it's our Father, which tells you something right off the bat. When you're praying, it's not just about you. It's about our, and that's one of the things that we should be operating in on a regular basis. That is our DNA. We'll take our break, and then we'll come back with the message and more. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the True Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jonathan and David were closely knit, and David made a commitment to Jonathan. And Jonathan said, I want you to make sure you're not going to take any kind of wrath or any kind of vengeance on my kids, on my family, on my people, and David made that commitment. What I want you to get in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, is that Mephibosheth is an offspring of Jonathan, and he was crippled, or he was lame. He couldn't walk properly. He couldn't, you know, function properly. He was at a tremendous disadvantage. And I remember when the preacher in North Phoenix Baptist Church looked at his audience, and just to give you an idea how big this church was, the auditorium seated like about 5,000, so it's like huge, right? And he looks around at everybody, and then he says this. He said, "You are Mephibosheth." And I was thinking, what? What? And he goes, "You," and you know, I'm thinking in my mind, but he's preaching, and was he just one of the best preachers? "You are Mephibosheth. You are lame and unable to walk without help." Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. Ready? The devil was what from the very beginning? A joker, a murderer, or a supplanter? The devil was what from the very beginning? This is in John chapter 8, verse 44. It's a very specific answer. The devil was what from the beginning? A joker, a murderer, or a supplanter? That is your question. If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. This is coming out of John, Gospel of John, chapter 8 in the 40s range. The devil was what from the beginning? A joker, a murderer, or a supplanter? That's the question. In the meantime, we're going to jump into our text, and I don't want people to take a legalistic element when we get through this. Hello. I want you to hear the good out of this. Use this to help you draw closer to the Lord, because that's everything what we're doing. Okay? We're trying to just help people draw one step closer. That's our goal. Genesis 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. Genesis, well, we're going way back, right? Yes, we're actually going to go from Genesis, and after that, we're going to go to Revelation. When I said from Genesis to Revelation, that was not an entire joke, but saying it would take 5 years, that was. All right, Genesis 4, chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Here's what it said. Here's what it says. Adam made love to his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. I am not teaching this message so you will give. It's not that you can't apply the principle. I'm just not teaching this for that purpose. Adam and Eve get together. Great. Then we get Cain and Abel. Great. Cain, he works the soil. Cool. Abel, he keeps flocks. Awesome. Great. Super duper. I mean, somebody's got to work the soil. Somebody's got to keep the flocks. All right, great. In the course of time, which we don't have any idea what that time frame is, Cain brings, and the description is, some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel also brings an offering, the fat portions from the firstborn of his flock. He gives, listen, Abel gives the best of what he has from the first of what he has. The fat portions from the firstborn. So let's understand what that really means. That means that from the blessings and the bounties, he gives in the beginning the best that he's gotten, and he gives that to God. While in Cain's situation, it wasn't that he wasn't offering flocks. That's ridiculous. People work soil. People work flocks. You give God the best of what you've got from whatever you're doing. And Cain brought some of the fruits. The difference in Cain's description and Abel's description is that Cain brought some, while Abel brought the best of the firstborn. One of them brought leftovers. One of them brought the best over. You understand that difference? One was leftover. One was the best over. Now I'm going to take you from that text, we're just flying through this, to Revelation 3. So we go from Genesis 4 to Revelation 3, covering 66 books in 2 minutes. To the angel of the church of Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the ruler of God's creations. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Yes, the Greek word is throw up. Upchuck should be the actual word there. But the Jesus said, I'm gonna go bleh. I'm gonna throw you up. What do you mean? Because in their commitment to the Lord, they were wishy-washy. We went through a whole political season on flip-flopping and all this other stuff. It's like, great, 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 great. That stuff's so old, it's not even funny. This church at Laodicea cannot make the decision to go best. Maybe not best. Sometimes the best. Maybe not always the best. Maybe some of the worst. Maybe some leftovers. Maybe none of that. Maybe we'll figure it out. We're just going to – that's a wishy-washy commitment to the Lord. Jesus is so – so nice about it. He goes, I'm going to throw up you. It's like, what? Cain brings some. The church at Laodicea, yeah, whatever. God is not a bill that you pay afterwards. God is not somebody that you give on the back end of once you've gone through everything, this is what I have left over. That is not the best for God. God is not the one that gets whatever you can spare. God is not to be insulted that way. And why that's important is because it does not have to just do with money. It has to do with time, treasure, and talent. And when you give God leftovers, you are inviting him to give you a do-over in regards to his teaching you. Now, why would you do that? Here's my question. Why would you? Do you know what kind of do-over that's going to be? That's going to be a tough one because the Lord's going to go, well, let's say I give you my best and you give me, eh. Huh. The problem that we have as believers is we can't function. You know, Genesis, before the law, Revelation, just like after the law kind of mentality. It's like, doesn't matter. You got to give God the best. You got to give him the best of your time. You got to give him the best of your talent. You got to give him the best of your treasure. And when by the best of time, it's a great way to say, you don't give God what's left over on your 24-hour clock. That's not, what is that? Well, I can spare this for you. Just think about how insulting that is to you and I when somebody does that to us. So when people will go to a governor or something else, and somebody very powerful maybe in political realms or just in power in the structure of mankind, the person will say, I will grant you 5 minutes. It's just like, wow, how nice, they're giving us 5 minutes. You can't do that with God because he will bring it back in a form of a lesson saying, I don't appreciate being treated that way. Like, nobody appreciates being treated that way. Why would God appreciate that? So don't tell me, and I'm not going to say it anymore in the rest of the show, I hope. Don't tell me that it's about money. It's about so much more than money. It's disgusting. It's what we really think of God by what we think, say, and do, and where he comes in on that priority chart. That's what it is. Wow. Don't tell me this. It's like, wow. All right, I'm going to finish the triv question here real quickly, and then we're going to get into the rest of it, and I hope you guys don't totally hate me after this, but that's up to you. The devil was what from the beginning? Was he a joker, a murderer, or a supplanter? And the answer is murderer. He was a murderer. John chapter 8, verse 44. Of course, this is the same text where Jesus says, you are of your father, or the devil, when Jesus was talking to some of the people who were not followers of God. Anyway, we'll take our break and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Today is Have a Bad Day Day. I don't know. Have a Bad Day Day? Somebody had to take the time to name a day a bad day. I don't know.
I think it's also National Men's Day, so that kind of works.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Play Monopoly Day is also a holiday that some people like, and then World Toilet Day.
Okay.
I'm not even going to – not even close. Not even going to touch that. For those that want to know, this is the stuff I like.
This is what you get when you listen to the show. On this day in 1959, the Edsel was discontinued. That might be interesting. But this is what's fascinating. Rocky and Bullwinkle, Rocky and his friends, premiered on this day in 1959. See, that's important.
I hated that cartoon.
Did you really hate
Horrible.
That cartoon?
Okay. Horrible.
I liked it. I always thought, you know, the Russians did it. Do you remember when they were going
Natasha
through?
Yeah, and Boris.
They were going through this whole thing with Donald Trump and that whole thing, and people kept dropping in these memes with the it was so funny. I mean, it was pretty funny stuff. And I will tell you one last thing, and we'll get into the teaching. We'll do trivia in the next segment. I will let you know that my wife and I got into a discussion last night as we were watching television, as we were watching a show, while we're working on stuff together, and I don't have the answer, so I'm going to ask Wonder Julie. And if you call in for a trivia, you might be able to give us the answer. But we're watching a show, and in the show, there's all these people that are skydiving. And then the last guy goes, and I tried to say, well, it looks like he skydived. And then I was like, well, that doesn't sound right, skydived, because that's past tense. And then skydove. And then that didn't sound right. And then skydiven, that doesn't sound right. Skydivid, that doesn't sound right. Skydiv, jump out. I mean, what is the past tense of skydived? It just seems weird. It seems like it's a weird. Do you have any idea what it is?
I don't know. I never would jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
It was one of those things we looked at each other and laughed because we're like, going, I don't even know the answer to this. My English is so bad. I can't even figure out how to give me the past tense. I mean, sky dove, but it just seems like a weird word. Maybe it's me. That's what happens when they experiment with you when drugs, when you're like 1 year old. Try this on him. Try this on him. That was me. All right, let's go into Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Poor Wonder Julie's going, what happened to you? Nothing. It's the same idiotic me.
Hey, I leave you alone for one day, and the wheels come off.
Yeah, the wheels on the bus go round and round.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where we're going to fire up another trivia question. Oh, boy. I hope you guys get this. Here it is. According to Jesus, our mouths speak about what? What our heart is full of or what we dream about? According to Jesus, our mouths speak what? What our hearts are full of or what we dream of. What do our words reveal? Our hearts or our dreams? That's probably a better way to say that. We do have somebody ready to answer trivia questions. Let's keep them on hold for one split second. I do want to send people up to the site. Send them up to the site. Hey, if you can give, great. If you can't, don't worry about it. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Seven, if you want to know, Jacob. The answer is seven, just in case you're wondering.
I was waiting to see smoke and see Undertaker come out.
All right, somebody's ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send him on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is your little brother. How are you?
Hey, what's happening, little brother? How are you?
Hey, not much. I know, I think it was a commercial when you were talking to Wonder Julie about, it's a skydive or something, and I was thinking, oh, maybe it's a cloudy with a chance of meatballs.
That's it. Cloudy with a chance of meatballs. That was it.
Yeah, that should be the answer.
That should be. That should be the answer. That's great. That's great.
Cloudy with the chance of meatballs.
All right. All right. Here you go. You got it. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. What does your words reveal? Do they reveal your what your heart is or what your dreams are?
What's in your heart?
That is correct, Amundo! That's right. That the simply way of saying what's in your heart, that comes out by your words. And so people, you don't know what my heart is. Well, it kind of depends on what you said. So, I mean, that I could. Depends on your talking.
Yeah. Okay, I have two things.
Uh-huh. Fire away.
One to my brother, my younger brother. He's a student at the Chriswell Bible College. He wasn't feeling good, so he left home. So he asked me to pray and asked the other brother and sister in Christ to pray for him. He's having a little fever, so I don't know what's happening. So just I want our David Spoon family to pray for his healing so tomorrow he could go back to school as well. And the other thing is, like earlier you were explaining about the Church of Lysidia, and the one translation say is vomit. And I believe that's more closer to the Greek word or the Hebrew.
That's what I said. I used to work
in the medical field, so actually I still work. But the vomit, it makes more sense because the vomit comes from the depth of your stomach, and it just cleared it up. So I believe that's what the Lord is saying to the Church of Lysidia. Like, if you're not warm or lukewarm, I will vomit you. It means there won't be any particle going to stay in my stomach. So it's throwing from inside out.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty scary warning, actually.
Yeah, and that's what I mentioned, that it's much more to the Greek is upchuck. It's like get rid of, bleh, get rid of it all, because even though there's a spit out, that's the nice way. See, when translators were doing it, they were thinking, we can't say vomit.
It only happen in your oral cavity, but the vomit comes from your stomach, from the very inner being.
There you go. There you go.
That is causing that kind of infection or whatever is that.
That's a good explanation. I like that. I like that. I like that. It's a very good add-on. Thank you for that. Let's pray for your bro.
Yeah,
let's pray for your brother.
Yes.
Let's do it.
His name is Joseph.
His name is what?
Joseph.
Joseph? Okay. Let's pray for him.
Yes.
All right. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We lift up Joseph to you, Lord. This is Samson's brother, and he needs a touch, a physical touch. He doesn't need, just to take a day off, Lord, from school or for anything else. He needs to have a touch in his body. He's asking for help. We're asking for help. We're petitioning you because, Lord, you are gracious and you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord God that heals. And by the stripes of Jesus Christ, by the wounds of Jesus Christ, there is healing. And so we ask you, not just for spiritual healing, but for physical healing for Joseph, that he would feel better, restored, back to it. He's probably got multiple things against him. He's probably got normal stuff against him. Heh, doesn't matter, Lord. You're more powerful than anything and everything on this planet, and we ask you to strengthen him and infuse his body with your touch and that he would be on top of it, back on his game. We ask you to bless him, bless Samson, bless our audience, keep everybody safe. Keep everybody protected. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, David.
Thank you, bro. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, let's get right back to our text. Here we go. Okay. I like that explanation of the vomit, just trying to clear it all out. That's good. Next verse. So we're talking about our best for God, which means not our leftovers, right? Which means no wishy-washy commitments. It's like you're in. Either in or you're not. And that's one of the things that people need to recognize. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son that whosoever should believeth is the continual action of believing. You don't believe for 1 second and then put it away in a closet and come back to it 50 years later. That doesn't work. It's a continual belief. It never stops. And so we want to have that continual pursuit, continual passion, continual direction. We don't want to give God some. I think I can spare this for you. It's not a can drive for your kid's school.
hey, we're having a can drive. So, you know,
nothing wrong with this, by the way. Go through your cans, go through your pantries, take out what you're not eating, put that in there, let's give it to other people. Totally solid, right? Except God is not the recipient of that. That's the difference. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 says this. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you're serving the Lord and not people. This command is to tell us how to serve one another. And then the connection to it is as if you're serving God. Because if you're serving God, you better do it wholeheartedly. Why? Because if you don't do it wholeheartedly, you're going to have a problem. What kind of problem? I'm glad you asked. Thank you for asking. Here's the kind of problem. John chapter 12, verse 41. Isaiah said this because Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise of God. When we don't fully, wholly serve God wholeheartedly, we can acquiesce to human praise and thereby deny Jesus. Oh, that's just mean. I know, but I didn't write it. All my material is at least 2,000 years old. All I'm trying to tell you is that if you are operating in a place where the praise of people, family included, is more important than your service and commitment and willingness to yield before the Lord, you're blowing it. And instead of freaking out about it, you come before the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, if I'm doing that in some area, reveal it to me. I don't want to do that. I want to do this right. I want to be fully devoted to you, fully sold out for you, fully into the kingdom, fully loving you. Because what you never want to do is live for the praise of people who have no heaven to put you in and don't care about you from one moment to the next the way that God cares about you. If the hairs on your head are numbered, I'll bet you the people that have that number aren't on this planet, because there are no people that have that number. Only God has the number of the hairs on your head. Here's a much more brilliant thought. Who cares how many hairs are on your head? Answer, God, because it's you. That's who cares. And so you want to be fully devoted to him, not fully devoted to surviving the earth. You want to be fully devoted to preparing for heaven. Well, I know, but I wanted the Lord just to rapture me as soon as I said yes. I know, you and every other Christian wants that same thing, except the Lord is making you look like Jesus step by step, image by image, glory by glory, so he can also touch other people. Oh, that's just awesome stuff. Yeah, that's awesome sauce, by the way. So what's the key in that? Listen, here's the key in that. Here's the text key in that. It's understanding that it's our best, not our leftovers, that go to God. We don't give God what we have left over. We give God what we have. Listen to this, Colossians 3:23. Then we'll take our break. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. With God, you give him your best all the time. And oh, by the way, he knows when we're not. Think. Yeah, I think you get that. Okay, good. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience.
Let me read this thing from Pastor Ray, and then we'll do the trivia question, and then we'll see what happens because I have no idea. This is from Pastor Ray, who passed away, by the way, on January 4th this year, 2022. He's my good friend, and I can't wait to see him up in heaven. This one's titled Joy, Expectation, and Delight. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. This is Pastor Ray's devotional. I often see people go through a spiritual drought. More than once, I have found myself in this dry, dark place where God seems far away and we feel even farther. It's like being the children of Israel, once again wandering in the wilderness trying to find our way. That's when I cling to the belief that we are being strengthened and matured through it all. How we survive the wilderness experience of our lives depends on our attitude towards God's word. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and I get such a kick out of reading it because King David got so excited writing about it, of all the things he gets excited about writing about the laws of God. He sang about them. He put statutes of the law to music. He positively exulted in them. In Psalm 119, verse 14, he compared God's testimonies to the riches. In verse 15, he declared, I will meditate on your precepts. In verse 24, he says, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. David was on to something. He loved God's word, and he knew that the secret to enjoying life, even in the wilderness, was to turn to God's word with joy, expectation, and delight. As children, we struggle to mature under our parents' authority. When we're spiritually born again into the family of God, we become children again, reparented. Oh, what a great line that is. Reparented by our Heavenly Father as we grow toward maturity and learning to trust Him. Allow His word to light your way, and the wilderness will not seem so daunting. Let His word guide your feet, and you will never get lost. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your last trivia question. When Jesus turned water into wine, how many jars did he fill? 6, 16, or 66? So you know it has to have a 6 in it. When Jesus turned water into wine, how many jars did he fill? 6, 16, or 66? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. 6, 16, or 66? How many? How many jars did Jesus fill when he turned water into wine? We do have somebody ready to answer the trivia question, so let's send them on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Dr. David, this is Deborah.
Hello, Deborah, how are you?
I'm doing good. I hope you're doing okay.
I'm doing okay. I'm doing so much better than on Monday when I sounded like I had a frog in my throat. I feel a lot better today.
Oh,
so,
did you?
Yeah. And then I said the frog went away, but I just think Bert got it in the backyard. That was my... Okay. Anyway, here we go. Pretty straightforward, not overly complex. The question, Jesus turned water into wine. How many jars did he fill it with? Was it 6, 16, or 66?
16.
Back up. 16 would have made it so nobody wrote the rest of the New Testament. So go back one. 6, 16, or 66. And
six.
That is correct, Dad! You're right! just had to do that to you. So what's really funny is 6, because about 30, 40 gallons apiece. So if you think it was 40 gallons at 6, that's like 240 gallons, which is a lot of wine. But if it was 16, it'd be like so much wine, the New Testament would have been finished. But then if it was 66, that would have been the end of the planet. Right there. It'd have been over. Right there.
Hey, David, yeah. I had a question for
sure.
you.
Yeah.
Do you ever hear from Wonder Julie or Terrific T or Captain Chris?
Captain Chris, I have not heard from Wonder Julie. So, I mean, and she was the very first of our producers. And she was she really helped me get through it all. Captain Chris was phenomenal. Tierra and all the other people were I think we've had phenomenal producers, and I've just been really blessed. And Don and I were talking, and I did say to him, I should train producers. You should have them come on the show. I'm really good at that. I really get them into the flow and whatever. But I don't get to hear from Tierra. I don't get to hear from Julie very much. Chris, more of a distance, overall. And then Dee, I do have more contact with just because I became a pretty decent friend. So I check with him, every so often.
Oh, that's good. I've been listening to the show since Wonder Julie, and I was just kind of wondering if you ever did. I didn't ever call in until Terrific Tea, but
yeah,
I was listening all that time.
That's
to
why
Wonder Julie and you.
That's why I've kept all of their, we do these fills. That's one of the reasons that I keep all the fills, is because I like that the way that those interactions went, and I'm not, it's a part of our DNA. It's part of who we are. And so I just think
it's always
good, and we'll just keep that going. And if any of them ever need me for anything, they know they can count on me. But all those people to me are blessings. That's how I look at them.
Awesome.
And the same with
Jam and
Jacob's going to go down that same road,
Right.
And it's just the same thing. We're just bless, because the rest of it's a mess.
All righty. Well, thank you, and God bless.
All right. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Excellent question, by the way. All right. And you guys can ask me questions. Now, I can't give you an answer to every single question you're going to ask me. So, like I told you before, my brother-in-law who works for JPL is working on this other project. So if you're going to ask me the propulsion rate that it takes to go from point A to point B in the schematics of the sky, I'm not going to give that to you because I won't even know what you're talking about. But if you ask me what I think it's probably three rats in a wheel keeping the earth in rotation. Oh, it's just a joke. Relax. Okay, here we go. Let's go back to the text. We're not going to have time for anything else because somehow we only have 5 minutes left on an hour and a half show. I don't know what happened. I mean, you and I were here. It was just like, boom, show's over. Okay. I mean, it's just too fast, right?
Yeah, we had some great phone calls today, though.
Yeah, really did. And we love it when people call. We love when you guys are doing that. And look at how interactive and gracious everybody's being. It's really, really cool. All right, now. I got 5 minutes to make my case, and it's not going to be that hard to make it because it's in Scripture. Okay, here's my case. We can't live our lives thinking that God is a part of them like he is a utility bill, or like he is somebody that gets some of our time, that we have some sense of honor. Well, we want to be honorable. You can't live your Christian walk like that because it's not genuine. It's not what the walk is. It's not what the call is. The call is not to be partly religious or in a partial relationship. It's to be in. And when you met somebody, I'm just going to use this as a general illustration. When a guy meets a girl and the guy's like really like, all in, right? The guy is all in. Everything becomes about the girl. I mean, I'm just saying, using that as an illustration, and the flowers and the notes and this and that, and then they can't figure out why that doesn't keep going because, of course, the guy stops doing the flowers and the notes and everything else, but that's a separate issue. My point is, you're part of the kingdom. He deserves the best that you have to offer because without you doing anything, he offered the best to you. God did not come and say, I'll kind of get you out of this mess. But and God never said this, God helps those who help themselves. I mean, that's just ridiculous. The whole reason we go to God is because we need his help in everything. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. You think, well, how does that play? Nothing eternally matters when you do it in Jesus. It has eternal value. So it doesn't last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50. It lasts a trillion years. It's like, I don't think we really get that big difference. And what is it that Jesus taught in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount? That is by far one of the most important texts that any of us have ever encountered, ever. And it's Matthew 6, 33 and 34. But seek first his kingdom. And the kingdom of God is where God is king. And so we should be seeking his kingship in everything. Hey, guess what the king gets? The first of everything. And his righteousness. Walking in the righteousness of God. Yes, it's a practical righteousness, but it's also quite clear in the scripture that righteousness is only coming about through Jesus Christ, since Jesus just made chapters 6, 7, 8, or the Sermon on the Mount, clear that nobody is going to do this apart from help with God. So that's why you seek his kingdom, his kingship, and his righteousness, which, by the way, is Jesus. And everything else will be given to you as well. You make God priority. He'll take care of the other stuff. And all these things will be given to you as well. That's the nice way of saying God will take care of the other stuff. And then, to help us, because we're really bad at this, verse 34, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. What do you mean, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow? If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God will cover you. You won't have to worry about tomorrow. But I have to do this. I have to say this. I have to see this. I have to touch this. I have to pay this. I have to receive this. I have to give this. It's like, listen, if we seek the kingdom of God first, where God is king, and his righteousness, all these things will be given as well, and then we don't have to worry about tomorrow. But we're always thinking, well, but what about, and that's the one line you got to watch in your own self-talk. And we're going to do a teaching on self-talk in, I think, about 2 weeks, because there is self-talk and there's God talk and there's people talk, but we'll get to that in a minute. Here's the thing. When you're in this pursuit of the Lord, and you are committing to advancing his kingdom, making him king, he's got your back. You don't have to be afraid. And whenever you use the word but, just be aware in the dictionary that means on the other hand. So just be aware of that when you use that when you're talking to yourself. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. Taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Destroying everyone and everything
he finds. He's the hungry giant. The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.